Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch, along with Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard. I am Phil Hendry every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Thank you, little Ian Anderson, for that elucidating look at English soccer. You guys are the biggest idiots.
What about me, an idiot, man? He's talking about a rubbish team.
Said, and I do want to approach. Said that Dickmanville or Dickmanshire would have a rubbish team.
Dickmanshire?
That's what he called. He said that the Dickmanshire team in England. I know he was kidding.
He was kidding you, Bud. And the reason why he was kidding you is because you guys ask stupid questions. All right?
What do you talk about stupid questions?
Hey, does the top team go right through the roof to Mars?
Well, I was just trying to find out about it.
No, kind of. You were giving him a hard time like you do all the time, and he got you back good. He said the Dickmanshire team is rubbish.
There is no Dickmanshire.
You don't know that.
I'll bet you money. Well, I better not.
Yeah, you better not is right, because you just, you know, with your luck, you'll find that there's Dickmanshire.
No, they don't have Leonardshire.
I bet you they got Leonardsville or something.
I forget about what they got, okay? He knows soccer better than you. I don't know what the hell you guys think you're talking about. Where do you get off? Just listen and learn. Listen and learn. We can go a long way in this world if more of us would just shut our big fat mouths and listen.
Well, what do you call what you do, Phil? You bip, 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 bip all day long.
That's my job. I talk. But one thing I don't do is I don't tell people, listen to me as I talk and learn. I never say that. In fact, I say, be careful, because what I'm about to say could probably get you killed.
Well, I'm... What?
I'm just kidding, all right? So, welcome back to the show. 877-876-PHIL. We're also online at philhendryshow.com. Backstage Pass is your entree to the glory that is the Phil Hendry website. We've got thousands of hours of audio material there. We also have our video cast, which we're on video right now. We have the Phil Hendry Show, Phil TV video cast each and every night. Archives of our video, the podcast. We also have our free podcast that you can access. Episode 121 is out there right now. I think it is...
Doug Danger.
Doug Danger, yeah, Doug Danger talking about, oh, that eyeball-to-eyeball thing.
Oh, that's right. It was, he was saying he was going to go eyeball-to-eyeball. Hold on. He was going to go eyeball-to-eyeball.
I know.
Hold, would you please be quiet, Robert?
Margaret.
Would you please? I know this. It was Doug Danger, and he was going to go eyeball-to-eyeball. I can't remember. Well, I don't know.
Why do you tell people to be quiet and you don't know?
Because I don't know.
Anyway, it's Doug Danger from an episode where he said yes. He's going to go eyeball to eyeball with people and say, ask them who they're voting for. And if they're voting for, you know, the wrong guy, he's going to go, oh, yeah, well, I'm voting for so-and-so. Now who are you voting for? It was an explosive moment in radio history, and we have it for you on our podcast today. And you can download that over at iTunes. And I almost stuck my glasses into my eyeball.
Good thing you're not doing eyeball to eyeball, or to eyeball.
Yeah, three eyeballs.
Well, the three eyeballs, yeah.
Would the two of you please shut it? Just shut it. Pretend as if you don't have mouths so much as you have flus.
They're looking at you.
Yeah.
What do you mean flu?
It's something you close off a chimney. All right, so in any event, get a load of this. Ladies and gentlemen, Maine girls... they are the basketball players, I suppose, for a high school team. They're scolded after disturbing Nazi salute. That's right. A Maine girls varsity basketball program in southern Maine finds itself under fire for one of the ugliest actions imaginable, giving a Nazi salute.
My God.
Well, hold on. Because I think I kind of know what's going on here, but then again, I guess I should read the news story, shouldn't I?
Yeah, we got a lot of people that all a long time, they'll write a letter to say, Mr. Emery... He's full of it. He got his head parked because he gave an opinion and didn't even know.
Yeah, you got to read the story first.
Okay, I will. Boy, that took you long enough.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, they write in.
I get it. They write in, they say, hey, why don't you read the story, Phil, before you give an opinion?
No, they don't.
Well, what do they say then, man? I got to do this.
They write in, they say, Mr. Henry gave an opinion and he didn't give a, you know, didn't read the story first.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I just said.
No, you didn't.
Yes, Bud, I'm talking to Robert, not you. If you shut up, then I'm not going to waste any time. I just said that. They're writing in and they're saying...
Why don't you relax, Phil? You know, you'll live longer.
Yeah, relax, Phil, you'll live... Hey, why is that stuck? Did we freeze up the website? What's going on over here, man? I swear to God, somebody's going to die. All right, I'm kidding. All right. So these girls are on a basketball team, as reported by the Associated Press and a variety of main outlets, including Bangor's CBS affiliate, WLBZ. A photo surfaced online depicting three members of the Greeley, Maine High School basketball team celebrating a Nazi salute. Two of the girls were actually giving the salute, while a third beneath her friends accepting the salute with a peace sign. While the preceding events that transpired the pose have not officially been revealed, the girls were all wearing their basketball uniforms in the pose, and they reportedly referred to one of their teammates as Hitler. Now, the salute and ugly tweets that surfaced were apparently a disturbing reference to the three girls' dislike of a particular Jewish teammate, with the trio also tweeting multiple references to Hitler and other anti-Semitic trains of thought. The tweets pointed out by WLBZ left little doubt about the girls' feelings about their Jewish teammates. Here is a one tweet dated December the 24th says, it's so Jewish to have practice on Christmas Eve day. Another says, if blank picked me up, she would have made me do sprints, then put me in a gas chamber.
Well, that is absolutely unacceptable, Phil.
It to openly tweet it, but I'm just questioning whether these kids are just dumb kids or whether they're really, indoctrinated into the Nazi thing.
You're kidding me. They're talking about Nazis and everything.
Yeah, to me,
I'm just saying they're dumb white kids, okay? And a dumb white kid is dumb. And these kids...
Well, that's a little racist.
No, it's not. These kids are on this lily white basketball team. I'm just telling you, okay? Their kids are kids. The whole Nazi thing probably has, for many young people, especially this generation of young people, very far removed from what Nazis were, to them, it is some kind of a cartoon. It's a bunch of really weird uniforms, weird-looking guys, and funny-looking salutes, and Hitler and gas chambers and this and that. Now, if this is the worst of the tweets, what I'm trying to say, this is the worst of the tweets, where the girl said it's so Jewish to have practice on Christmas Eve, then it sounds to me like a bunch of kids who think it's cool for whatever reason to knock Jews, and I believe it has something to do with the fact they don't like this one girl who's Jewish, maybe. I don't know whether these kids are actually don't like Jews or they just got a problem with this one Jewish girl, and so it's really Jewish. And then the thing is, so-and-so making me do wind sprints just like Hitler because they're going to put me in a gas chamber.
Phil, you're trying to find excuses for these three scum. Now, hold on, Phil.
I just don't...
Hold on. If you want me to get on the phone here, my husband Frank, who's Jewish. If you want me to get on the phone here, Mr. Wireman, who's Jewish.
No, I don't. But I'm just saying, even those two gentlemen... Frank and Harvey, Jewish, yes, would understand that these are some dumb kids that need to have their priorities set straight, and the only people who can do that are adults, their parents and their teachers. And I think that that's kind of what's happening here. Or they're really seriously, warped, indoctrinated kids. I just don't see it,
So you think it's okay to give a Nazi salute?
No, I did not say that, man. I didn't say that.
What are you saying?
Am I talking to myself here or something?
Well, Phil, it's not clear.
I'm making it as clear as I can. These three girls are three punk kids at this basketball team in Maine, bunch of white kids, and they see these images flitting across television, across books in their history class, and it's a Nazi, and it's a salute, and it's Hitler, and it's all of this bad stuff, and they've got a Jewish teammate, and they hear about Jews, and to them, they're far removed from the reality of Holocaust and the horror of all of that stuff, and they probably haven't even seen some of the documentary footage. And to them, it's just like this big, ugly cartoon. Now, I'm not forgiving it. Any parent that sees their kid doing this stuff probably ought to sit them down and say, let me tell you, about the facts of life. I don't know.
Well, not unless the parent themselves are members of a closet Nazi cell. And this is why I'm thinking...
Oh, you're getting really weird now.
You don't know, Mr. Henry, unless there's the Nazi... A Nazi...
Yeah.
What are you, nervous?
You can't know.
And by the way, it's Nazi, not Nazi.
You said Nazi.
I do because of it's a gag.
Oh, let's laugh about it now.
No, we're not laughing about anything. So the three girls are reportedly minors, so their identities remain protected. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because kids screw up, and they screw up bad sometimes. If they haven't killed anybody, which they haven't, they haven't assaulted anybody, which they haven't, they may just be, and I think they are, three dumb kids. What the hell? You put their name out there on a national news story, and next thing you know, the whole family's getting death threats, and more damage is done.
You know, this surprises me. You used to be so very outspoken and strong in your opinion about this kind of thing.
I am still, but these are kids. My whole thing when it comes to kids is different. I say you still got a chance to teach. You still got a chance to find out what the hell's wrong with them and teach, expose them to certain things, etc. I'll bet you anything that that's the problem. I got money that says that's the problem, and I got money that says the thing they're going to do if they do it right with these kids is have them visit the Holocaust Museum, bring some Holocaust survivors in to talk to them, bring some any GIs that survived going the World War II who went into those camps and saw what they saw, and sit these kids down, because this works. This stuff works. When you take these kids and you sit them down and you show them exactly what that period was, and it straightens their brains out a little bit. All right, we're going to take a break now.
Where's this? I'm talking about going to where the Nazis was, right?
No, the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. You guys don't even know where that is, huh?
I know where Washington is.
Great. Well, it's in there. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is the head coach of Belmar Academy's varsity football squad and as well a frequent contributor to the Phil Hendry Show. In fact, last night we had a very interesting debate between Vernon Dozier and Herb Sewell, and that was on mothers. And I'm not going to get into that topic, but it was pretty interesting. As Herb rolled out his mother-son sex segment, which I agree with you, Margaret. I don't know if we're going to do that again.
That was, I mean, there are some things that I can stomach, and there are other things, Phil. You often criticize my personal habits. If you want to see vomit come from my nostrils, reintroduce that segment. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Did you have to put it that way?
Yes, I did.
God.
Oh, shut up, man. What are you doing, bud?
God. Ow.
What are you with the whole melodrama, huh?
I don't know.
He does it for attention, don't you, bud?
No, I do it because I like football. Ow! It hurt.
Yeah, I hope it did. Sting?
A little bit.
Boy, you got him. You caught him right in the mouth.
Right.
Bud, come on.
No, I like.
Well, I don't know what you did.
I hope I loosened up a couple of those lower teeth so we can get them replaced with something that's straight and white.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, boy. All right. So let's move on here. We're going to be talking here with Vernon Dozier, and we'll be discussing with Vernon a very interesting story. It's the Harbaugh brothers. Is there really that much bad blood? Is there any bad blood? Why have they not talked to each other in 2 weeks since the end of the Super Bowl, which was won by the Baltimore Ravens by brother Jim, John Harbaugh? And with us is Vernon Dozier. I'm sorry, Vernon, I'm spaced on... I know the Ravens won the game.
Yeah, the Ravens won the game, Phil, and it was Brother John Harbaugh, who's Baltimore Ravens, defeated Brother Jim, the San Francisco 49ers. And so there you go.
Which team did you like?
Well, I like both of them. I think I can understand. I think I had a similar attitude as you. I thought Joe Flacco had to have a great game. He did have a great game. You love to see a football player respond to the pressure the way that Joe Flacco did. You love to see a football player like Ray Lewis lead his team and inspirationally and spiritually the way he did. You love to see the defensive play of a great veteran like Ed Reed, who's, as you heard mentioned many times in the broadcast, is probably one of the great center fielders to play in professional football.
By the way, when we say a center fielder, what position are we talking about?
Well, you're talking about free safety. But Ed Reed, you know, free safety is the last line of defense for a football team. That's the guy that, quite frankly, he's the last man, he's the Alamo, if you will, Phil, last man standing.
Excuse me, Vernon, it's Margaret.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you mean by the last man standing?
Talk about the last guy.
Yeah, what I mean, I'll take care of it, Dickman.
That's what Phil said.
I said it.
He said it, bud. Be quiet.
Margaret, the last man, the last line of defense for any football team is a free safety. He plays, we call center field. He's back, way back, covering on pass plays, and if need be, he's covering on a running play that may get loose. We have another defender called a strong safety. Strong safety is playing pass protection. He's also playing a run, and a strong safety often comes up on a running play and moves up on a running play and makes a tackle or is involved in the tackle. So. Ed Reed had a great game, Phil, and to see John Harbaugh win a game like that. And I got to tell you something. If I were John Harbaugh and Jim wasn't talking to me, I'd probably just leave a little message, say, let's bury the hatchet, and quit being a big fat baby. I beat you. I beat you, and I beat you good. I'd rub it in a little bit, but... I think in terms of brothers...
Why would you rub it in?
Well, I think in terms of brothers, there's always something to rub in. I mean, there's obviously some bad blood. Not bad blood, but I think there's a history between these two boys, two young men who are now middle-aged men, I should say. And I think there's a history probably where they kind of needled each other and got on each other's nerves. And the next thing you know, you have this big game and you can start to really get some payback on the great many things that went wrong. Down through the years.
We're talking to Vernon Dozier, head coach of the Belmar Academy varsity football team. They've won three division championships there. They won a Southern Section championship and countless league, not countless, but something about 11 league titles.
We won our 12th league title this past season, Phil.
Well, congratulations on that. And we're talking about Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh, the head coach, respectively, of the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. You have a brother that coaches.
That is correct, yes.
What does your brother coach?
My brother coaches, he's a little, I coach football, and I've coached baseball. My brother Zach has coached both baseball and lacrosse. He has coached women's basketball, and he's coached softball. I have never been a huge fan of any of those sports, with the exception of perhaps baseball. I've done what I've done. He's done what he would.
What happened to you guys? Why do you have the bad blood?
We don't have bad blood. I love my brother very much.
Well, when's the last time you talked to him?
Well, we haven't spoken in a couple of years.
And 2 years.
That's correct. Yeah. It hurts.
Well, so Vernon, I don't want to pry, but we did want to talk about this. What would cause you two guys not to talk for 2 years?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil. It was a combination of betrayal. It was a combination of betrayal and bad information. I told my brother Zach he was, I think at the time, he was 2 years younger than me, and now I consider him to be 4 years younger than me, because I think, and that's what I say to him. I know he is 2 years, but I still say to him, you are 4 years, and you're getting younger and younger because of what you did. Now, what he did was, he was coaching the women's lacrosse at Chablis Academy at the time, which was a woman's four-year liberal arts college. And I said to him that he didn't know anything about, and he didn't know anything about lacrosse. I said, you really have got to be putting me on if you think you're going to take it. I said, how are you going to coach it? He said, I'll figure it out. I said, well, what is lacrosse? And Phil, you should have been there. He said, well, it's you take a stick and you throw a ball. I said, boy, I can't wait to see your first game. I said, this is going to be beautiful. So I rubbed it in a little bit.
Well, so you were rubbing it in as an older brother?
Yeah, I was right. But, I was basically saying to him, you're going to coach lacrosse? You better, if I were you, I'd quit and leave town under the cover of darkness. And I was serious, because what will happen is, at Chablis Academy, I don't know if you know anything about that town, but they love their lacrosse. They've got a long history of lacrosse championships, and Zach takes over this team. Well, to make a long story short, I rubbed it in, I shoved his face in it, kicked dirt on, and they wound up winning the championship. And
all right, hold the story right there, okay?
Well, I just gave away the
Well, hold the story, because I know there's more to it as we talk here with Vernon Dozier about his brother Zach and their brotherly rivalry. The Harbaugh brothers apparently haven't talked for a couple of weeks, although they now have a little clip of them talking about a Super Bowl rematch. Wouldn't that be great? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Vernon Dozier and brothers and their rivalries in sports in just a moment. PhilHendryShow.com. There it is there.
That dude right there.
Thank you, bud.
That's what they do. Yeah, that's Phil Hendry Show.
Phil.
Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico here each and every night, Monday through Friday, from 10 until 1 on the West Coast, and of course, 1 to 4 on the East Coast. And we're very, very happy to be with you. With us is Vernon Dozier, the head coach of the Belmar Academy Titans. Is that the name of your team, Vernon?
No. I think you're probably thinking of the television show.
The Remember the Titans.
Yeah, that's Remember the Titans. No, that's...
What is the nickname of your team?
Have an unusual situation in our school, Phil. We don't tell people the nickname of our team unless they have attended a certain number of games, and then we tell them. You're not in the inner circle of the Belmar Academy blank blank. I'll tell you that it's two words. Until you've attended, but you do not have the right. That's how we see it. We don't mean to be arrogant. It's just kind of a fun tradition.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's very unique to our team.
Well, I mean, how to get fans to be...
How do you get fans to do what?
How do you get fans to root for you?
Well, if they come out, they root for Belmar Academy. You were just talking about the English soccer teams that don't have any real nicknames. They call them the teams have no nickname. The fans call them the... I think in the case of Tottenham, they call them the Spurs, and they call a...
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, who knows what that is, but the...
Well, who knew what a Nittany Lion was?
And now they don't care. Oh, God, that guy. Boy, someday I want to tell you all I know about Joe Paterno. I've got some stories that... I don't know what to do with these stories that I know about Joe Paterno, but...
Well, let's not talk about it, because it's just... Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, I got stories that'll just burn your... It'll cook your brain. I can't even describe it.
All right, I don't... Please don't.
If it's newsworthy...
Never mind.
Well, he's got a point.
No, he doesn't have a point. No, Bud never has a point. Never mind.
Well, can I ask you something? What, are you related to Paterno?
Yeah, it sounds like you're related to him.
No, I'm not. I don't want to get sidetracked. That's what happens on this show. Sorry.
All right, okay, but I just, like I said, someday if you ever...
Thank you. I'll take you up on it.
I mean...
Woo!
Some stuff.
All right, Vernon Dozier is with us.
Yeah, you call me up after the show, Mr. Vernon, and...
Name's Dozier. Okay, let's get that straight before I start spilling anything to you.
Hold on for a minute. Do you mind if I do my show?
Who's stopping you?
Yeah, who's stopping you?
You are, smartass.
Yeah, I'll ask you, Mr. Dozier, are you on a railroad track or something?
No, I'm standing at a bus terminal. I can think here. I'm at a bus terminal in Glendale. Is there a problem with that?
No, it just sounded like you were standing. It sounded like a train was bearing down on you.
But I'm near the Metro Rail track, but it's actually a bus station.
You're near a Metro Rail track, and it's actually at the bus station.
Wait, hold on. Hey, do you not believe me?
No, I believe you.
Because you're at a Metro Rail track. I am at a Metro Rail track near a bus station.
You're at the track.
I'm on the track.
You said you went on the track.
Phil asked me, are you standing near the track? I said, no, I'm on the track at a bus station.
Why are you on the track?
All right, I'll get off the track. Wow, what's your problem?
Don't you think that's dangerous?
Yeah, it's dangerous, Phil, if a train is coming, but right now there is nothing for miles. I'm looking down either side, I'm having a cigar, and I felt like standing on a railroad track.
Why is that?
Because I wanted to see... You really want to know?
Yes, I do.
Because a guy told me that they empty the toilets out on the track. And I said, I don't believe you. I said, you're a liar. He said, are you kidding? Metro Rail, where do you think... You know, when somebody goes to the bathroom, I said they stow it and they take it off at the station. He said no, they open up a lever and they just let all that stuff pour out onto the track. So I'm out here now, and I've got one of these metal detectors.
But you got a metal detector on account of the dew.
Why don't you just back it off for a second, okay? I know what I'm doing.
Well, it's a good question. Why do you have a metal detector when it's human waste?
Three guesses.
Oh, I know.
What?
What? Go ahead.
In case somebody had to swallow a diamond ring or something.
Exactly, yeah.
In case somebody had to swallow a diamond...
But is that on account of your smuggling?
What are you... No, hold on for a minute. What are you laughing at?
I can't believe you. You're serious?
Yes, I'm serious. People are having to swallow diamonds. They're having to swallow all kinds of valuables every day because the police are after them.
Yeah, but guess what they do?
They swallow them, and then they take a you-know-what that goes out into the toilet.
Yeah, and that's when they are entitled to the marvelous job of retrieving it.
Not if you forget. Oh...
Well, okay, Vernon, I can see you didn't think that one out very clearly.
You know what, Phil? I didn't invest in a metal detector for nothing.
You know, I'm going to jump in and tell you right now, Phil, that you went from talking about the Harbaugh brothers...
Yeah, can we get back to, why it is...
You went from talking about the Harbaugh brothers to people swallowing rings and diamonds, defecating, and forgetting that the diamonds and rings were there, and flushing it out onto a railroad track. Am I right about that?
Yes, essentially, that's it.
Well, you know what? And then you went out and invested in a metal detector.
Yeah. So what are you going to tell me? I'm stupid?
I'm going to tell you this. No, they don't dump it out onto the track. They save it and...
They save it and what? Bake with it?
Yo!
Shut up, man.
Well, at least I was getting a laugh. Who hit him?
Don't worry about who hit him.
Phil, I don't know why you've turned on me this late in the game. I don't know why you've turned on me this late in your career. I could have helped you at one time, but now...
I'm not turning. I'm asking you a very reasonable question, and I'm shocked that you cannot answer. Why do you... You know, first of all, I'm telling you that no one in the Metrorail company or the Metrorail authority dumps human waste out onto the track. That's number one, okay?
Well, look, Phil...
No, that's number one. Number two...
That's what we're talking about, number two.
Ha, 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 ha.
That's pretty good, Mr. Duden.
What did you call me?
He called you Duden. How do you feel about that?
I'm sorry. It's Dozier. I misspoke.
What do you mean you misspoke?
Because I was thinking of Dew and...
How do you feel?
Let me tell you something, okay?
Yeah, I knew this was going to happen.
No. I'm going to tell you something, Henry. I'm the head football coach of a little school in Glendale. You talk to me about coaches. You talk to me about the Harbaughs. You throw the Harbaughs up into my face. You throw it up into my face, okay? You might as well have had a fat lady. And I say this, and I'm sorry, Mrs. Gray, and I'm sorry to the women listening, but I've got to say this. You might as well have a fat lady sit right on my face. All right, you understand what I'm saying?
Vernon.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. Now, I did something completely innocent. While I was waiting to go on the air with you, I purchased a metal detector over here at Costco. Why? Because I wanted to have something to do while I waited for you knuckleheads to put me on the air. I went out. I got a high-powered flashlight. I bought myself a lousy cigar. And I went out of the track. And I started running the metal detector up and down it. And then you get on the air, you tell me.
You know, you're going to have a stroke.
You get on the air and you tell me that I'm about 300 yards of dumbass. You tell me they don't empty it out on the track. You tell me the guy's got to have to forget that he put it in his mouth and crapped it out. In other words, for me to get it. In other words, you're saying that I am dumb by the bell protection. I got to blow my nose. Hold on.
You got it?
One more time. That'll do it. You're telling me I'm stupid. You're telling me I'm dumb. You're telling me I ain't worth the load of dung that it would take to grow the garden, that it would take to grow the vegetables, that it would take to keep me alive as an infant. I'm not worth it.
I didn't say that, but that's a pretty...
Pretty descriptive?
No, not as to my feelings, but it's pretty descriptive for someone's feelings against someone they didn't like.
Oh, you like me.
I do like you, Vernon. I like you a lot. I think you're under a lot of stress. I think you've been under a lot of stress ever since you took that job at that school. The stress that you're under has not kept you from winning championships. It's not kept you from being a successful coach. But you're under a lot of stress. Anybody listening can hear it.
Well, then let them hear this. If I want to go out on the railroad track, and I want to look for it, and I want to go out, I want to look for a ring, or other valuables, then let me do it.
Vernon, it's Margaret.
Yeah, what do you want?
I really think you need to get off the phone now and go and talk to your wife, Tammy, and have her walk on your back or whatever she does.
Wouldn't you like to know why when Tammy gets it going?
You talking to him?
Yeah, Vernon, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Here, I'll handle it.
Bud.
I'll handle it. Vernon, yeah. Many, many times when a mother fixation kick in, and you remember your mom lip-locking you. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Okay, bud.
Hold on for a minute. It's very delicate. Bye. It's Henry. Yeah. 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 Yeah, Henry.
Will you come on, man?
Phil, this is very delicate. He's talking to him off the air. This could be a stroke situation that Bud's calming down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, your mother, she drops you off at school. What are you going to do? I understand. I don't hold it against you. She went on to live a normal life, right? Okay. So you only did it one time. All right, Vernon. Well, you call any time. You're going to be okay. You're going to be fine, buddy. You're a great coach. Everybody will love you and everything like that. Right. You really did that with your mom, though, huh? All right, thanks so much. Okay.
What was that about?
I'm sorry. I'm not at liberty to divulge.
Why not?
Patient-client privileges with a doctor.
Get out of here with the patient-client privileges.
I think he's talking about the you-know-what between Vernon and his mother.
All right, I don't want to know about that then.
He gave it to me in graphic detail.
Yeah, I heard you laughing. I heard you really enjoying yourself, huh?
I was imagining it as a comic book. Big deal.
Are you kidding me, man?
Yeah, we can serialize it.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, some comic book, man, like Preacher Gone to Texas or something.
Yeah, with that one-eyed Jody.
One-eyed Jody. All right, so thank you very much. Vernon never did get to the whole thing as to why it is his brother and him. What was he going to say about that, do you know?
Yeah, I'm going to find out. He said his brother won the lacrosse championship, and that's why he doesn't talk to him.
Because he was trying to give his brother the business through the whole lacrosse season?
Yes, he was saying to his brother that you don't know how to coach lacrosse. You suck, whatever. And his brother went on to win the lacrosse championship with the girls' team. So Vernon didn't, you know, his razzing, I guess, didn't work.
Yeah, and his brother won.
God, what a baby. So because his brother was able to endure all the razzing that Vernon was giving him and win the championship, Vernon doesn't want to talk to him.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Well.
Yeah, Vernon, you know, you got to relax, man. Not everything is life and death, dude. Not everything is life and death.
Yeah, you know, Vernon said you talk like a baby, that Vince Lombardi would put you in a diaper and roll you down the street.
Who said that?
Vernon did.
Oh, did he really? Vince Lombardi would put me in a diaper and roll me down the street?
He's a big fan of Vince Lombardi.
Aren't we all? All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Get him back on the phone.
Wait a minute, the guy almost had a stroke. And just
get him back on the phone. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What do you want?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. Truth is our bitch. If you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, you can get yourself a backstage pass, and you will then have the Milwaukee Lions, for instance, all of those podcasts, the regular daily podcast of our show that is posted and that is automatically downloaded to your fang. You also get thousands of hours of Phil Henry Show radio going back over a decade, 5,000 hours to be exact. You have our online store. Anybody can go to the online store and buy the things that we have for you to buy there. And, of course, when you go to our online store, buy lots of stuff.
Spend a lot of money there.
Spend a lot of money. I'm kidding, of course. But you know, do what you can. Do what you can, man, to help the entrepreneurial thing, what we is all doing here. Because that's America these days. The one-man show, the Phil Henry one-man show, we're going to let you guys know, is rapidly approaching. We're in what we call our super fast-track rehearsal mode. And very excited about it. Very excited about it. And as I said earlier in the show, and it bears repeating. As a matter of fact, it doesn't really bear repeating, but using the modern day metrics of radio, I recognize that the audience has completely turned over from the first hour to now, so I can repeat everything I did in the first hour, and most people have not heard it yet because everybody's brand new to the radio right now.
What?
I'm just, never mind. So as I said in the first hour, this one-man show is something that I look forward to. I have not been this confident about anything ever. Even my first day on the radio when I was a 19-year-old punk kid.
You're really 19?
20.
Still a punk kid.
Well, yeah. I remember my first day on the radio as a 20-year-old. I was so scared I couldn't get anything out of my mouth the first day I was on the air.
It's kind of different for you, Margaret, huh?
What are you talking about?
Your first day on the job, you couldn't get anything in your mouth. And then, yeah, that, oh, 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 right in the groin.
That's right.
Okay, does that teach you a lesson?
Ain't you going to do nothing about it?
No, I'm not going to do anything about it.
My first day on the job, I couldn't get anything in my mouth. You know?
Wow. Woo. Direct hit.
That's right.
Man, Mr. Henry, you got to defend a guy who gets attacked like that.
No, I'm not going to defend. How many times have I told this idiot? How many times have I told you?
Two.
Bull crap.
You only told you two times.
Oh, knock it off, will you?
I can't breathe.
Come on, man. Give it some air. Loosen your belt.
Yeah. Yeah. Knock it off.
That's right. There's more where that came from.
Bud, will you quit with the melodrama? All right, so join us online at philhenryshow.com and our one-man show. That's going to be really, really, really exciting. In other news, so how about that, huh? Vernon and his brother, and the Harbaughs are not speaking, and I don't really know why. Now, the biggest story out of the Super Bowl, by the way, the power going down, which was explained by the city of New Orleans the next day, they had something to do with the Beyoncé's performance and some kind of an intermittent power surge and whatnot. You know, they turned that into a big controversy. You know that, don't you?
What do you mean?
They turned it into some big conspiracy theory, like, oh, man, this was designed to do something to either team. If you're a 49er fan, it was designed to further disrupt the 49ers. If you were a Ravens fan, it was designed to do what a lot of people said it did do, which was to take the 49ers head, or excuse me, the Ravens head out of the football game. I don't think personally, I don't think people understand football, you know.
Well, what makes you think you understand football, Phil?
I don't, it's not that I understand football, it's that I just listen to what people say. I listen to what they say. I don't understand football any better than the average fan, but when a kicker or when a coach says in an interview, you know, there's really no such thing as icing a kicker, I believe them.
What do you mean there's no such thing as icing? How come all the coaches do it?
I mean, the coaches, I don't know that coaches actually call timeouts to ice kickers. I think maybe they do it as a desperation move, thinking maybe this one time. But every professional kicker that I've ever heard asked about that, when they say, you know, does that get on your nerves when they call a timeout just before you're going to kick the ball? And I've heard people say, among them, the guy that used to kick for the Cowboys, I forget his name, Septian, said it never rattled me. It gave me more time to kind of get set and get prepared. And he went on to say, if you're a professional at this level in this game, that stuff doesn't rattle you. That doesn't bother you. So it's hard for me to imagine a professional coach believing, unless he knows something about an individual kicker, maybe this guy, and he tends to be nervous, who knows? And the same thing goes with this whole pushing and shoving. And when I saw Rex Ryan do the crap that he was doing, they're going to tell you, most coaches that know what they're doing, that stuff doesn't intimidate anybody getting in their face. It may inspire your players.
Well, that's the guy you talked about, Rex Ryan. You said that guy ought to be fired.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Phil. You said that man, Rex Ryan, should be fired. And I felt that you were very judgmental. I think it went back to the fact that he enjoys his wife's feet. And I think you had a real problem with that. And I think you need to be honest about that. Because there is really very little time in this world for people to have successful marriages. He enjoys his wife's feet. And there, you know, We don't have enough of that.
Well, hold on for just a minute. When did I ever give you the impression that I wanted him fired because he, you know, had a fetish?
Look, excuse me. Could you stop with that word fetish? Because I think it puts into the listeners' minds a certain kind of perversity, perverseness. You know what I mean by that, right?
Yes. Perverseness as in, you know, aberrant and weird.
Yes. It gives the audience the impression, Phil, that you think that Mr. Ryan is some kind of thing as opposed to a man. And then when you say, you know, so...
All right, Mark, can we get to the point here?
The point is he enjoys the foot. He enjoys his wife's feet. Can you say that?
No, I can't. I'm not going to... Yes, he enjoys his wife's feet.
Oh, my God, you've really got a problem with that, don't you?
Yeah, what's wrong with you saying that a guy enjoys his wife's foot?
Enjoys one foot or both?
Maybe he only enjoys one foot.
It could be one foot. In Rex Ryan's case, he enjoys the feet. He enjoys feet. Any woman's feet.
Okay, so what has that got to do with his coaching?
I think it prejudiced you. You think because Ryan enjoys feet or enjoys foot that he doesn't belong as the head coach. You're wrong, Phil Henry. You're dead wrong. I'm Marker Gray.
Hey.
Don't be a smartass.
We'll be right back. World famous enjoys foot. Phil Henry Show.
He does. He enjoys foot.
Phil Henry.
That's the proper way to say it.
Yeah, we got a lot of proper ways of saying it.